Can you smell what the zone is cooking? It's time for the Jim's Razorback Pizza Report.
It's going to be a great week for us here. It's a homecoming week for us. Excited to get into our home stadium and have an early kickoff against South Carolina. A tremendous football team. Third in a row of a quality of SEC opponents. Our kids are getting better by the day. Came out and played well early against Florida, but couldn't sustain a four-quarter strategy to get us the win. But we'll continue to move forward. Stayed relatively healthy. The only setback we had was lost Will Hines for about 4 to 6 weeks with a fracture in his arm. But hopefully he'll have a full recovery and be back with us the last couple of SEC games.
I believe it was James Taylor who sang, "In My Mind, We're Beating Carolina." I think that's how the song went. Justin Akre, Phil Elson back in Conway. Jamie Gates joining us as well. He is with the Conway Chamber. We are here to talk about the Conway Area Chamber of Commerce Business Expo presented by Southwestern Energy. Man, that is a long name. You would never want to put that like on a little placard outside your office door.
It wraps around the back. See the other side.
It's good stuff, and if you're looking for an opportunity in the world of business, if you're looking for a job, if you're looking to make some new friends, if you're looking to make some business acquaintances, this is the place to be, and it's free of charge until 5 o'clock, and at that point, they'll charge you $15 to come in here and do exactly what I just said, except they're going to feed you a whole bunch of cool food from 25-plus restaurants.
True.
Okay. Sums it up. Coming up in a moment, we'll talk more about the matchup between Arkansas and South Carolina. Later in the show, we're going to talk about the bounce-back game for Central Arkansas because Jamie Gates is a UCA Bear backer and a UCA Bear expert. How about that? Fear the beard. Not fear the stripes. No, fear the beard. I am fascinated with your beard right now.
It's awkward.
It's gotten more talk than the Hogs have, I think.
His beard?
Yeah.
Fair. I'm having a better season.
In a totally heterosexual way. Let me get Sarge in here from Pine Bluff, then we're going to talk to Edward Eshoff. Hey, Sarge.
Hi, Jace. How you doing today?
I'm fine.
A couple of things. When I called yesterday talking about how much fun it was in my younger days listening to the St. Louis Cardinals on KMOX radio,
yes,
one thing I forgot to mention was what made it so enjoyable was the broadcasting crew, which was Harry Carey, Joe Garagiola, and Jack Buck, and you just don't get much better than that. I mean, you may have to be on Social Security to remember those days, but those guys were really good. Now, a word or two about the kid from South Carolina. I'm not a doctor, but I was a medic in the Army for 20 years. And I can tell you a bit about those intercostal ligament injuries. That's the things that hold the rib cage together. I woke up in the middle of the night one night, and I thought that someone had sneaked into my room and stabbed me because I had a white-hot pain like a knife just stuck in my chest. I honestly thought I was dying. And I went to the emergency room, and the doctor asked me to point to the source of the pain, and I did. And he said, well, that's good because that means it's probably not a heart attack. And his diagnosis was that it was an inflamed intercostal ligament, the ligament between the ribs, suffered probably while I was bowling.
You bowl harder than I do, Sarge, I'll tell you that much.
You're rolling it underhanded, right?
I was pretty good, you know, in those days.
Mm-hmm. I believe it.
But, I mean, it was really unbelievably painful. For instance, a friend of mine also had a similar injury, and he unfortunately came down with a bad cold. And every time he coughed, literally, he was on the floor. The pain was so intense. Now, I don't know if the man's injury is an inflammation, a tear, a strain, whatever. But I do know that it's probably not likely to get any worse if he plays, and probably a cortisone shot and a painkiller shot right into the locus of where the injury was located would allow him to play without pain, but that's between him and his doctor.
That's it. And Sarge, we got to run. I'm sorry, but I do appreciate the insight. Thank you so much.
Okie doke. Bye-bye.
All right. Take care, my man.
Whether you're a Hog fan, a lover of Southern sports, or just someone who wants to know what's going on in the Premier League of College Athletics, snuggle up close to your radio, computer, or phone, because it's time to hear from ESPN.com's SEC insider, Edward Ashoff, who's here to tell you all you need to know about what's up and who's going down in the SEC.
Sorry, I'm hawking t-shirts here. Welcome back. Thank you, Sarge. And we welcome back into the zone on the Stickies Rock and Roll Chicken Tech Hotline.
You're getting choppy, Justin.
You're getting choppy, man. Hi, Edward.
Yeah, you guys are choppy. I thought it was me, but it's not my phone. My phone's
Do I smell good now? Is that better?
That smells much better.
Oh, buddy, I'm telling you. Choppy. Edward, how are you?
I'm doing well. I'm in my hometown of Oxford, Mississippi, and standing on the square right now. So I'm in hog heaven, if you will. See what I did there?
Yes. Yeah, I see what you did there. Do you feel smarter now having listened to Sarge's anatomy lesson? I do. I actually learned a lot about that.
That was pretty interesting. Way more interesting than I have to say when I come on.
I don't believe that.
I thought the intercostal was something you drove over to get to an island.
That's what I was going to say. I actually prefer more of the Gulf Coastal than the intercostal, but that's me. Preferably like something in southern Alabama, but, you know. So, okay, so you're going to watch Texas A&M come in there and trash Ole Miss this weekend. Is that the plan?
I don't think they'll trash Ole Miss because A&M's defense is pretty bad, but I did pick A&M.
Worse than Auburn's?
I think it is the worst in the SEC, and it might be one of the worst in the entire country. They're kind of like Georgia. They're young. They miss on tackles. They've blown assignments. I will say that the advantage they do have over Georgia's defense is that they have a better secondary. They have playmakers in the secondary. I don't know if Georgia has that right now. Those guys really haven't developed. But, yeah, I'm under the witness protection program here in Oxford because I picked A&M to come in and beat Ole Miss. But, you know, I sat down with Hugh Freeze yesterday, and I asked him, how do you keep pace with Texas A&M, and he kind of laughed. He said, I don't know. I don't know how we do it. We're not built that way right now to be able to do that. And I think he's right. They don't have the horses right now to do it. They have to get that running game going. If they can get a running game going against Texas A&M, chew up some clock, I think that that's the way they win. And they have to have the ball at the end of the game. They cannot give Johnny Manziel time to make plays, you know, with even less than a minute.
I thought you were going to say that Hugh Freeze told you he also expects A&M to win the game, so not to worry about it. But he didn't say that.
He didn't go that far.
Okay. I think the line is 6 on that game. And, I mean, I don't expect him to kill him, but, I think that's a bet in the country this weekend. That's just me. I won't ask you to give us any betting advice. So let's move on to the game that people are more interested in around here, and that, of course, will be the Arkansas-South Carolina game. Hogs looking to snap a 3-game losing streak. Meanwhile, South Carolina, a very unimpressive 4-1. Their one loss, of course, to a Georgia team that was very good at the time, maybe not so much now. We'll talk more about them in a little bit. But a couple of very narrow victories, including Central Florida, rather, and last week against Kentucky. So what do you make of the Gamecocks at this point?
I'm going to preface by saying that I've been perfect on my picks with Arkansas this year, and I've picked them to upset South Carolina this weekend because of the issues that South Carolina's had in the second half. And, you know, I talked to Connor Shaw and Chad Sutton this week and asked them, you know, what has been up with this team in the fourth quarter? And they said it's immaturity. And I know that, you know, we're 4 or 5 games into the season, but that's something once SEC play starts, you can't have those issues. And they still do. I mean, they let a struggling Kentucky team take it down to the wire. They went to Central Florida. They regained some momentum, lost it all at the end. Right now, I think as much as Arkansas struggled in the fourth, they were pounded by Florida. I think that their offense is going to be able to make some plays because of how well they run the ball. We don't know if Kadavian Clowney is going to play. That defensive line has had its issues. And Sutton told me flat out, the younger guys on this team just haven't been as prepared as they expected. And it's been a tough learning curve for them. They're doing different things with their defensive line. And that's really affected some of those young guys. So, I don't know. As tough as South Carolina's offense has been, I like Mike Davis. I think he's going to be able to have a field day out there against Arkansas defense. And Connor Shaw is the toughest player in the entire country. I think the defense fails them in this one. If Jadeveon Clowney isn't 100%, I think that hurts them. And I don't know. I just got a feeling Alex Collins is going to make some plays late.
Yeah, we talked to Todd Ellis, the play-by-play voice of South Carolina, a little bit ago, and he said that this is the best offense he has seen in his time at South Carolina as a broadcaster. And we were talking about the efficiency of Shaw. I mean, he has been very impressive, and this is exactly, I would think, that what Spurrier would hope for, or any coach, as Todd Ellis pointed out. 7 touchdowns, no picks, around 1,000 yards, and almost 70% completion. So certainly doing a lot of things right, but you think their defense will fail them this weekend?
Yeah, I don't see Connor Shaw making a lot of mistakes. He doesn't force a lot of passes. He's probably one of the most underrated players in the country, regardless of position. So Arkansas can't count on South Carolina's offense beating itself. It can count on a good home crowd. I know it's a noon game, but you know, South Carolina hasn't won there since 2005. Their last three losses to Fayetteville have come by double-digit points. So I think that it's going to have to come down to what Arkansas's offense can do against that defense. And when you can run the ball, chew up some clock, that's certainly going to help you. That's what Arkansas is going to want to do. I mean, Brandon Allen really struggled against Florida's defense. South Carolina doesn't have that ability to smother you like that right now. But, you know, run the ball. See what you can do against that defensive line that has pretty much has underperformed so far this season.
You know, Edward, it sounded like from what Ellis was telling us that that if the Razorbacks have any chance against the defense, it's in the air, that that they've given up the big play this season, and if Arkansas's receivers are able to hold on to the ball, and I know that every fan listening here in the Natural State has their fingers and toes crossed as far as that's concerned, that they might have the chance for the big play against the secondary.
Yeah, I think that obviously running the ball is going to open that up, and a young secondary, you know, Victor Hansen hasn't played as well, but he has been injured this season. It's been tough for South Carolina's defense, and I think it starts up front. That line is just not played as strong and as confidently as a lot of people thought. It started in the first game. You know, Jadeveon Clowney, with his play all year, you just don't know what you're going to get out of this defense. So I think that if they can establish the run, that's certainly going to open things up. And, you know, we talked about how tough Connor Shaw is. Brandon Allen just took a beating last week against Florida and just kept standing. So I think it's going to be an interesting matchup. If South Carolina's defense can stop the run, I certainly give the Gamecocks a major advantage. But right now, I just don't think they can do it.
It's been so tough for the Razorbacks to keep Allen upright, or at least be able to stay in the pocket and look downfield.
Yeah, certainly. And I think you saw that in the Florida game. And the interesting thing, and I will say this, I mean, they're not going to face a defense like Florida for the rest of the season. There's no defense out there that adjusts as well as Florida does. I mean, look at the Miami game. They give up those two touchdowns, one with a short field, one with a big throw. And then right after that, I think Miami totaled maybe 50, 60 yards the rest of the game. And then look at last week. Arkansas marches down the field with an impressive drive, and then that offense is non-existent the rest of the game. They're not going to face that. I mean, Alabama's defense obviously is getting better, and that's one that they're certainly going to have to worry about. But I do think that this is a game where Allen is going to be able to stand upright and throw the ball. And it's again, I'm going to keep going back to it because I think that's the best way that Arkansas can win this. If they can run the ball effectively, then they're going to be able to throw, and that's going to be a bad day for South Carolina.
We were talking earlier about a South Carolina opponent they have faced and then one that they will face. Big Eastern Division matchup this weekend. A depleted Georgia team hosting Missouri this weekend. Undefeated Missouri, I might add. Much to the surprise of some, maybe not so much for others, considering who they have beaten along the way. What do you make of that game, and is Georgia ripe for the picking right now?
It's another one of my upsets, and Georgia fans have been killing me all day about it because I picked them against South Carolina. I picked them against South Carolina. I picked them against LSU, and now I'm picking them against Missouri. I know it's bad luck for me. I'm 0-2 against the Dogs in Athens, but everything is lining up for an upset. Missouri's clicking, healthy, confident. He can throw the ball, can run the ball. Defense played well. Second in the SEC in sacks. Georgia's defense can't tackle. It has injuries. Their Trey Matthews might not even play. The defensive line has been gutted by running games. I think this is the game where Missouri comes in with a hot hand. And when you have Aaron Murray, you certainly have a great chance of winning. But he can't do it all himself. And I think that Missouri's defense is more talented than Tennessee's. And going to be a fun one. I think it's still going to be a shootout, but when you don't have key guys, Todd Gurley's not 100%. You know, he's not going to be as effective. I tried so hard to pick Georgia, but I just had to go with Missouri. And I'm probably going to be wrong, so Georgia fans are probably relishing the fact that I picked against them again.
How many times have you picked against them this year?
I picked against them when they played Clemson, LSU, and South Carolina. So I'm 1-2. The chance to get back to 500.
Yeah, I'm with you on all those, actually. No, wait, I picked Georgia to beat South Carolina, actually, but I was with you on the LSU game. Where are you with LSU right now? I am so torn with them, and obviously they got a great matchup this weekend with Florida, which is the best matchup in the West this week. What do you make of them right now? Where are you with them?
Well, I was really high on them early in the season, and now I just don't know what to expect from that defense. I mean, this is the defense that I thought would be better as the season went on, and I still do think it's going to improve. But Georgia really opened my eyes to realizing that there are issues in the secondary. That defensive line isn't as strong as I thought it would be. The linebackers are just okay. I mean, Laban Barrow is a guy who a lot of people thought would be a first-round pick. I talked to a couple of our NFL guys, and they said, I mean, he's got the talent, but he doesn't really make a lot of plays. He comes in on a lot of plays, gets a lot of assisted tackles, and some of the solo ones he gets are just because he's there, and he doesn't generate plays by himself. So I love this offense. I think it's the most balanced offense in the SEC. If you take Johnny Manziel out of the equation, it's probably the best one in the SEC because of what Zach Mettenberger can do, because of what Jeremy Hill can do. You have two all-SEC receivers in Jarvis Landry and Odell Beckham Jr., but at the end of the day, I don't know what to expect from that defense. It's kind of like Florida's offense. I love that Florida defense, but I don't know what to expect from that offense. So something is going to have to give in Baton Rouge this weekend.
And meanwhile, Alabama still trucking along. Still a pick now. Who do you expect to face them in the SEC championship game? Assuming you think they're going to get there still.
I mean, sorry, a huge truck just went by.
I'm glad it didn't hit you.
Yeah, I avoided it. It's that SEC speed I have. I still think Alabama makes it to the SEC title game, especially the way that LSU has just made me look bad recently, but it's still kind of a toss-up, and I don't think this weekend is really going to determine much unless South Carolina loses. If South Carolina loses this game, I think that, you know, they're probably going to be out of the running. I don't see Georgia losing two more SEC games unless, you know, they fall to Missouri this weekend. So, really, if all those East teams lose, you're still questioning who's going to make it. And Florida really should be the favorite in the East because of how balanced they've looked the last couple of weeks. But look at the defenses they've faced. So I think this is the game where we really figure out what Florida can do. If Florida loses close, I think that a lot of people start to take them more seriously. If they win, you have to think that they're the favorite because they're healthier, even though they don't have their starting quarterback in the beginning of the season or their best player in Dominic Easley. But that defense is still on fire. They can run the ball. Murphy has been a great game manager. He has an adjusted QBR of 96.5, which is the highest in the SEC. So, if they win, I guess you have to say Florida's at the top right now.
I probably should. I don't know. I guess the whole thing is, how many teams in the West do you think are better than anybody in the East? Just Alabama, or are there more?
I do think Texas A&M still is because of that offense. I mean, as bad as that defense is, they're going to outscore everybody, and that's their MO. I think Florida, Texas A&M would be a great game to watch. Because there's a chance that, you know, that Texas A&M offense doesn't move as well, and maybe Florida can score some points on them. But I would probably take those two. LSU, I mean, they lost to Georgia. We'll find out this weekend. If they beat Florida, then there you go. They're better than South Carolina and Florida. But right now, it's just kind of a toss-up. And who knows with Missouri? I mean, if Missouri beats Georgia, you know, maybe they're in the driver's seat. So it's exciting, but it's also very confusing watching these teams right now.
Okay, let me ask you one last thing, then we'll let you go here, Edward. I heard somebody talking today, and it's always the discussion. Does a one-loss SEC team get in over an undefeated team from, say, the big – let's say Ohio State runs the table. Do they get in there ahead of them, or do you think even with the weaker schedule, Ohio State would go?
I think Ohio State would go because of that win over Northwestern. Michigan, they haven't looked great, but they're probably going to – end up with one, maybe two losses at the end of the season. I think that Ohio State is pretty good. I think Oregon is obviously, if they go undefeated, they're in. Stanford, too. But I do think Louisville would be on the outside looking in because of how weak their schedule is. I think that's the team that would make it.
Yeah, it's going to be, because, I mean, you could easily, well, not easily, but you could have an undefeated team out of the ACC, the Pac-12, and the SEC. You know, whoever wins that Clemson-Florida State game could come out of there unscathed. It is, I mean, there are so many good teams, especially on offense, and so much good quarterback play around the country right now. It is going to be so much fun. And, of course, speaking of Louisville, they're on tonight at 6:30. And, again, they'll be favored against. But, again, that's a tough Rutgers team, as Arkansas fans know all too well. So a lot of football to be played. It seems like we always, about week six, right before the standings come out in the BCS, we always say, well, what if there's five undefeateds? Well, that never works out that way, unfortunately. So we'll see. All right, Edward, thanks for the time, my man. Have a good weekend, and hopefully nobody clubs you while you're out late night in Oxford. I hope everything in your hometown is good and fine, and they accept you as the kind-hearted former Oxford resident that you are.
I'm a celebrity around these parts. They love me too much.
Must be your humility that they find so attractive.
I knew that was coming.
I got you. Enjoy it, my man. We'll talk to you soon.
All right, sounds good.
Thanks. That's Edward Ashoff, ESPN.com's SEC blogger. Picking the Hogs. Picking the Tigers.
He's going out on a limb on, on one of them.
Somebody catch me. It's dangerous out there. That's a pretty thin limb when you're going to go with those two upsets in the same weekend, my man.
The wind better not blow.
Well, let me tell you something. If somebody's going to catch you after you fall off a limb, it ain't going to be anybody on the Georgia roster, because that is a depleted group right there, my man. Later, Gurley. Their backup running back is out. I mean, they're beat down. There are not too many teams I've seen that are more injury-laden than the Georgia Bulldogs right now. Maybe the Central Arkansas Bears, unfortunately. It's been a rough year from the injury standpoint. Can have a huge impact, there's no doubt about it.
But he also said that the Razorbacks will be able to run the ball against the South Carolina defense, soften it up, and maybe throw a little bit, too. I mean, he's expecting, it sounds to me, like a fairly high-scoring game.
Here's hoping. I'll take whatever kind of score I can get. I saw an interesting quote from Will Muschamp, and we'll play some more of the teleconference over the next day. But he said, you know, when I was a coordinator, I used to look at the stats. Now it's like, if I win, you know, 55-54, I don't care. He's got to get wins. Yeah, I'm sure your mentality changes to some degree, but they are playing great defense right now. So I just think LSU's got too much for him. I just think LSU gets it done.
I agree. I mean, you get quarterback looks great, best quarterback they've had in a long time, and that's been one thing that might have been missing.
Maybe ever.
Perhaps.
Maybe ever. Maybe. As far as single-season performance goes, we'll see. Long way to go. 11:29. We're in Conway. We'll talk more with Jamie Gates and fill you in on what's happening here. We've had a number of people stop by. People here are very friendly in Conway. It's a great place to live, I'm told.
The stack of T-shirts is much smaller than it was even 30 minutes ago.
Jamie, is this a great town to live in?
This is a fantastic town to live in.
Yeah. That's what I've heard.
Raise a family.
Yeah.
Go to school. Get a job.
Right.